And therefore, I would like to ask you some questions. What is desire and what is attachment? And what is the relationship between these two? What has desirelessness to do with enlightenment? What is the difference between temporary enlightenment and permanent enlightenment? What is suffering and how can we overcome that? When is the end of suffering? With deep love and gratitude, Gautama. Where is Gautama? How are you doing, Gautama?
Yeah, good.
Good? Where you get this name? Gautama. You know it was another famous Gautama, no? Gautama the Buddha, no? He said the four noble truths. Didn't you hear about that? The four noble truths of Buddha, Gautama the Buddha. Your brother in name, no? Only noble people can understand the noble truth. He said four noble truths. First was life is suffering. This was his own experience because he had had everything. He was born a prince. Then the father and the mother wanted him to have everything, so he was satisfied. But he didn't get satisfied with all the food and all the women and all the richness and the castles. Then he saw that you die anyway. It's this life is suffering. How can you go beyond that? So that was his own intelligence. He wanted to go and find out what is truth. That is the first teaching. You have to stand up for yourself. You can't depend on anybody. You have to be ready to leave your family, your richness, even the wife he left in the middle of the night. So the first he said, after he got enlightened, life is suffering. Why is life suffering? Because you are unconscious, you don't know, so you are chasing dreams. That's why life is suffering. Life in awareness is bliss. But in unconsciousness is suffering. So that is where the masses is. So then the second noble truth, what is the cause of suffering? That is attachment. So I would like to ask you some questions. What is desire and what is attachment? And what is the relationship between these two? It's the same, same. Desire, it brings attachment. You have a desire, then you get that, it becomes attachment. Maybe something was good, you want to hold on to it, then it's clinging. No, clinging, then it's suffering. You cannot hold on to anything. Everything comes and goes. And this is how it's lost in the Maya. So that is the same thing for me, attachment and desires. No attachment, no desire. No desire, no attachment. This desire, it drives you crazy. And because desire can only be for the future, no? Then you go away from the moment. And life is in the moment. What is wrong with life now? Why have a desire for the future? That is how the mind is. If you stop, if you see, if you are present, then you see that life is now. It's crazy to dream about the future. Then you miss this moment, and it's this moment you are living. That is how people, they lose their whole life, because they have desires for the future. What has desirelessness to do with enlightenment? It has everything to do with enlightenment, because if you're enlightened, then how can you have desires then? What is there to desire then if you're enlightened? Nothing to desire then. It means there is light, no? This desires can only happen if you're in darkness. If you desire, then you're in darkness, then no enlightenment. In enlightenment is light. Enlightenment. Enlightenment, no darkness, no desires. No suffering. What is the difference between temporary enlightenment and permanent enlightenment? There is no temporary enlightenment, it's only enlightenment. But there is inside, there is satoris, no? And satori, it is the same as enlightenment, but you just have a glimpse. Like in some mysterious way, suddenly the curtain goes and then it closes again. Many people, they hold on to that experience, no? And then the ego can take that also. Then you become spiritual ego. Enlightenment, then the curtain is gone. Not only is gone, it's burnt. Even if you want to close it, it's gone. So you better enjoy when you have the curtain. Then you can play with it. Sometimes enlightened, sometimes not enlightened. When the curtain is gone, you can't play that anymore. That's the hassle of being enlightened. No, no excuse. What is suffering and how can we overcome that? How we can overcome suffering, this is again, is just what the Buddha and all the enlightenment says. You have to face yourself, you have to come back, you have to stop. You have to become conscious. There's no suffering in consciousness, only in unconsciousness. That means you are living the dreams, in the maya, in the illusions, in the samsara. Then you become attached to the dreams, then you suffer. So the only way is to wake up, to become more conscious, to become wise. Wise people, they don't suffer because they don't do stupid things. Unconscious people do stupid things, then they suffer, no? Easy. But not so easy. What is suffering and how can we overcome that? This is the Buddha was giving these four noble truths. It's like a gradual way, no? And most people have to see it like that. First, you have to understand, which is maybe difficult if you still have many, many dreams, then you can see. Then you're not interested in the noble truths of the Buddhas because you are not noble. Only that's why they call it the royal path. Only kings and queens can walk on that path. You have to be noble to understand. You have to have a certain kind of maturity to even understand what they are talking about. So that is also what Buddha said. What is suffering and how can we overcome it? How can we stop that suffering? That is the third, no, of the Noble Truths. There is a way out. There is a way out, but then you have to face yourself, you have to meditate. You have to sit with the Buddha to learn. And that is always painful for the ego if you're not ready. That's why there's never many people in satsang. Look how many billions of people there is in the world. How many people in satsang? Because it's much easier to go in the dreams than to face yourself. Then you have to face, and it's shocking in the beginning because you see, what have I been doing? That is painful. But as you see, then something else starts taking over and you understand that this is how it is. And the truth, consciousness, is much more sweet. So just one drop can transform everything. What is suffering and how can we overcome that? By becoming more sensitive, by reflecting, by meditating, by becoming more conscious. That is the way of the sannyasins, of the meditators, no? They want to overcome it. First, you have to accept that something is wrong. Life is suffering, like Buddha said. Then you have to be ready to transform that. You have to be able to look at yourself and see what is bringing, what is causing this suffering. What is causing this merry-go-round? Then that is very uncomfortable in the beginning because you have to really face yourself. Then if you want to be free of suffering, you have to look at everything that you're doing. You can't cheat yourself. Maybe you can cheat somebody else, but you cannot cheat yourself. It's impossible. The only way is to be truthful to yourself, which is very, very difficult if you don't have a mirror. That is what in the East they call the master, a mirror. He can reflect you, no? Otherwise you don't see. Then, in Buddha's light, it's easy to understand it, to listen, to meditate. He makes the right climate. It's very difficult in the city. You want to be more conscious and everybody wants to go to the disco. It's very difficult. Different desires, no? And then you ask, what is the end of suffering? End of suffering is consciousness, is enlightenment. It's seeing clearly that there is no I. Then who can suffer? Only I can suffer. Only ego can suffer. That is the biggest attachment. You have so many attachments to people, to places, to money, to name, to fame, to country, whatever it is. Then you have attachment in your mind, in your ideas, things you are grasping, holding on to. It's deeper. People can't even let go of something outside. What to say about the inside? Then all that has gone through. And then the last, who am I? When that is gone, then who? That is the end of suffering. What is the end of suffering? That is self-realization. That is the end of suffering. then you see that you are not this idea. Then who to suffer? He went together with the curtain. The guy who played with the curtain, he disappeared when he went outside the curtain. Everything disappeared. So this is the gradual way from the Buddha. He takes it step by step to understand. So even the mind can start understanding the whole process, no? Most people are very attached without being attached, because it's normal to be attached. It's normal in society to have desire. You have to have desire. If you don't have any desire, you don't fit in then. You have to work hard to get your desires, to be somebody in the world, to get that job, to get that fame, to get that money, to get that man, to get that woman, whatever it is. So it always keeps you ahead of yourself, no? That is how most people are going. Then they lose life, which is now. Then is all the ideas. They have no clue about that because they never gone inside. And that is why it's difficult to meditate, because the mind always take you away. You have to have the right soil, you have to have the right place. And that is what Buddha is talking about. There is a way, but you have to face yourself. That is also very difficult if you don't have a Buddha. Then he creates that atmosphere of clarity, of peace, of rest, of harmony, the Sangha, of love. That something, even against your own mind, start feeling something deeper. Well, this is good. This feels right. I can't fight it anymore. That is how it goes, because truth is much more powerful than all the lies. Lies are millions, dreams are millions, truth is one. I like to ask you some question. What is desire and what is attachment? What is the relationship between these? These two are happily married, dancing together. That's the relationship. What has desirelessness to do with enlightenment? There's no desire, no non-desire. That is also some people, you know, they get inside and they hold on to it, or even people take drugs, no? Then they think they get wise. They think that is the way. It's always been like that. Human beings want some kind of shortcut. So they want some magic mushroom, or LSD, or ayahuasca, or peyote, or something to give them a quick enlightenment. But you are not worthy of enlightenment. You just have a trip, and then you come back again, and you're more stupid than ever. More confused than ever. Because it was just in your mind. It's not integrated. The whole you has to be integrated in harmony. Otherwise, enlightenment is too powerful. It will kill you. That is the work of the master, to get you more in harmony. Otherwise, these fools, they have always been that. They want to just have a quick, like instant coffee, 2 spoons of Nescafe. and you drink it. And then they want instant enlightenment. Then just take this ayahuasca, or take this LSD, or take this peyote, and then. And then next time more, nice. And they look more and more fried, but fried in a bad way. I fry people also, but they smell very good. You have to have the art of cooking. Otherwise, you can't play with this alone, you get fried. Then you look weird, you know. All burnt on one side. And one side. And it's pretty disgusting also when they smell. Now, haven't you? This is smell, this burnt. Ooh. It reminds me of India. They burn the bodies. It's always like this burnt flesh. Always in Brazil, they are so good to grilling, no? Because there's summer all the time. They grill, all the Brazilians are grilling. It reminds me of this burning the bodies in India. It's pretty disgusting. Here in Scandinavia, they also do that in the summer, luckily, because this is short summer. Then they are very happy. They grill the pork and the horses and the cows and the sausages and the anything they get their hands on, they grill. And it always reminds me of these burned bodies in India. It's like, how can you eat that? Oh, it's not human, it's just a pig, huh? People are really strange, but they are not conscious. They have no clue what they are doing. You know, they don't have even a clue what they eat, what to say about what they talk, what they think, how they behave. They have no clue. So that's why it's hard. That's the only work, is to start becoming more conscious, to start waking up, becoming more conscious how you live, what you are doing. Because otherwise it's suffering. The end of suffering is becoming, you see, just a little bit of consciousness, which happens here all the time, then suffering, so much suffering going. Because now you see with different eyes. Then the challenge, of course, is to know you have to act with this new light in your eyes. You have to integrate it, you have to face your old life. That means change. And most people, they don't want change. But that is absolutely necessary, because you have to integrate it. That's why this, you have to have courage. You have to have some guts to come back to yourself. In this world, not many is really want to listen to the Buddha, no? Who wants to? They want to listen to Lady Gaga, not the Buddha. Gaga, Gaga. That just shows where everybody is just Gaga, Gaga. It's perfect. This world is Gaga. Everybody, she's the most popular. Because people are Gaga. Who wants to listen to Buddha? Oh, too boring. Nothing happens. It's only for some people that wants to come back. They want peace, they want silence, they want consciousness. It's for those people. So the suffering comes that we put all the attention into that which is not real. And then, of course, when you put attention and your whole life energy into things that is not real, and dreams and desires, then of course you get disappointed. Then you get disappointed, then you get hurt. That's why everybody gets hurt. If you see things as they are, you don't get hurt. So Buddha, he tried to make a little road map, no, like many masters do, to help the seekers. But it's very difficult, it's impossible without consciousness, no? Without any awareness, you don't understand what he means anyway. You have to be with the Buddha to understand. That is the only way. When you fall in tune with the Buddha, then you start understanding his language, his vision. But all the Buddhas, all the masters, they try, you know, that's why he wrote these guidelines. But it was from his own experience. He was born a prince. He had everything. But now in the Western world, many people have everything of material and they are not satisfied. So that's why also people know they are very interested in Buddhism, because it goes much deeper than Christianity. But it's very difficult to find the heart of Buddhism if you don't have the Buddha. And he talked about not indulge and don't reject it, just in the middle part. Have balance. But out of consciousness, then this balance will come. You can't just follow like the Christian try to follow 10 commandments and then they go on killing each other and doing all the stupid things. It doesn't help anybody because consciousness, there's no awareness there. By being with the Buddha, by being with the Master, then you regain your consciousness, your awareness. Then you start seeing yourself. And that's the easiest part. Half the journey already gone. one master, Kabir, he said, I had to seek the doctor. And there, Kabir called the master, the doctor, the physician. Because of the pain this world caused me. But you have to come to a point where this world causes you pain, conscious suffering. It doesn't cause you any pain, any suffering if you still have dreams. Then you are happy chasing dreams. And that's what everybody is doing because they are unconscious. They are still happy chasing dreams with a smile on their face. You have to come to a certain stage in evolution, in maturity, to understand that this doesn't satisfy you. Otherwise, you won't seek a physician, you won't seek the master. Just when I played this song earlier, they sing, chase your dreams till they fall away, or something. But that's, they will never fall away. People are chasing and chasing. Live your dreams till they fall away. You will live and live and live and chase forever. Only thing that stops is the more awareness, more clarity. Then everything stops. That's the only thing. Otherwise, you will always go on. I had to seek the master because of the pain this world caused me. I could not believe what happened when I got there. I found my true guru. Before I left, he said, are you off for a little homework? Okay, I replied. Well then, try thanking all the people who have caused you pain. They all help you to come to me. You have to have some kind of understanding of life before you can listen to a master. Beloved Swa, my heart just exploded. In the past, when it happened, after a while, the mind would comment, it is the last time, it is done, it cannot explode more. And then it happens again, Yahoo! I am now left with the awareness that I am the firework, the explosion, and the child that is saying, oh. But one thing for sure is that here and now, you are the match that lights it all up. Thank you. As I know it is not the last time, and that I am now left in the delicious state of devotion. Nam nam. I'm so happy to be in your neighborhood again. With love and immense gratitude and endless joy, Nero. I'm having good, I live in a good neighborhood. I lived in bad neighborhood, so I know the difference. That's how you have to find out. And this delicious state of devotion that is really delicious. And when you have tasted them, then it's very easy. Because it's better than anything else. It's only those that have never experienced any true love, any devotion, any true surrender. For them it is difficult. In devotion it's easy. In people, they don't have anything higher to be devoted to. They are devoted to all kinds of stupid things and dreams. And that's why they are never taught that, because they get hurt. They have learned from experience, they get hurt. But they get hurt because it's false. When you have touched something that is so beautiful, then devotion comes like a shadow then. That is how devotion is. You cannot do it, you just have to. You are surprised yourself. You just want to bow down, that's how devotion is. It's just too beautiful. Then you also write, Beloved Swaha, I thought I was visiting a precious old friend here in the mountains. But I have the amazing privilege to find my master. It is taking sannyas all over again, but this time I'm conscious of what it is. The first time I did not have a clue. That's how it is. Sannyas is just a possibility. It's just a possibility, like it's an open door, but it depends how far you go. Many people, they just want to name or take sannyas, but they have no clue. You have to grow into it. Manisha, she took also no sannyas. She had been sannyas before, but now she is more mature. Now she knows more this deep love. Because you are maturing. It is taking sannyas all over again. Some people, they think they even know before they have started. You have to be very careful and very sensitive in the world of sannyas, because you're going into a totally new area. You have to learn everything new. It is like taking sannyas all over again, but this time I'm conscious of what it is. At the first time I did not have a clue. And maybe this time I will realize in a while that I don't have a clue either. But it is total. Yeah. You won't have a clue, but this doesn't matter. It is the totality that matters. Because this totality is just another world of sannyas. For me it is. People, they don't know how to be total, so they are just lukewarm. I remind people, even around me, you have to be total. Because then it's beautiful, your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, everything is in it. That you can only have if you are mature, if you have surrendered. There is no totality otherwise. Then you always have some ideas and holding back. Thank you for the space you offered me. As usual, I spoke too much, filling the space. Yes, even for me it's hard to stop you. And I don't stop anybody. So I just have to suffer and listen. But the good thing is that you know about this. And even more good, if anybody can stop you, it's me. And it's happening. Because all that anasi that you have, if that now can go more into silence and this devotion, then something else will grow. But I very clearly heard you. One, it is true that I do not know Swaha, and I didn't know Vasant either, but we shared some very important moments. One I never thank you for is your help in driving Nadu to the airport in New York on his last trip home. I remember your strength and your care. It meant so much. And it is in my heart forever. Forever surrounded by love and gratitude. Two, I will organize myself to come to the silent retreat. It is what I need. You are, of course, so right on. Very good, Nehru. You took it in. You have to know. When the doctor give you medicine, you love the doctor, you have to take it, then you get healthy, no? This is how it is. You thought you couldn't come, no, you have taken it in. This is how it is, listening to the master, then you are drinking that. And you feel, the more you drink, the more you feel that this is doing me good. Don't come in your own way. And I'm only saying things because it is right. Three, I will listen attentively when it will be the time for your vision of the work that could manifest itself if I get involved. What feels so right and so the next step for me? 30 years of studying human nature with my sleeves rolled up prepared me for what could be possible under your guidance and vision. For me, it will be enough to be here and share in devotion what can be shared. That's more than enough. Everybody has to do something, but the most important is just come, become more quiet, harmonious, peaceful, in tune. Then everything will happen. But one thing is for sure, if something will happen, the first thing I will change from the work to the play. I will change this vision of the work to the vision of the play. That's for sure. And that will always be a reminder for you because you worked enough now. It's almost like you can't believe that it's happening, but it is happening. And it is time. And it is here. in gratitude and devotion. This devotion, and you mentioned it many times, is a very special flower. It's the most beautiful flower. Because this devotion, it only comes out of your being when something is really touched. Something divine is touched. That is devotion. It's a divine flower. You cannot do, like you cannot do love, you cannot do surrender, you cannot do devotion. It comes when something is touched and some deep understanding, some seeing has happened, that how can this grace, how can this touch me? That is devotion. That is the easiest part, because then it happens by itself. It's nothing you have to do. It just takes you over. That's what all the masters have said. That's what Jesus says, come follow me, then nothing, you don't need to do anything, just follow me. Krishna says, just think about me, be devoted to me, and I will do everything, then you will be happy. Everybody says the same. But how to get to this devotion? That is some deep maturity that needs, because it's far beyond the mind. The devotion can only come from the heart and from your own experience. So you can recognize something when it's there. Otherwise, many people, they can walk straight by because they are so full of dreams and projections. They don't really see what value they have in front of them. They even leave it sometimes because they haven't suffered enough. They are far, they haven't touched devotion, they haven't even touched love. Everything has just been in the mind. Devotion is something so valuable. That is the true prayer. That is devotion. You just want to bow down then and thank, say thank you. One mystic, Sutras, he says, without devotion, all you are is a beast of burden. And this is how you all are, just a beast of burden, if there is no devotion in your heart. Because that means you haven't found anything that is valuable to be devoted to. You're still just living in the mind, in desires, in dreams. Something divine, something godlike has to be touched. Some love has to be touched. Then only can this devotion come. Without devotion, all you are is a beast of burden. It is like you will need four legs and horns on your head, and a neck in a leash, and hold heavy loads, and break your back. And this is, he says, because this is how the mystics are seeing you. This is how you are living through your life. Holding heavy loads, breaking your back, beaten with sticks, and eat all straw. What are you doing with your life, he is saying? Just wasting it. You have precious human life. You can live your whole human life without doing anything, just holding heavy loads, beat, beaten with sticks, eat all straw, work in the fields, endure hot and cold, and work yourself to death. That is the normal life. No love, no bliss, no silence, no peace, no harmony, and absolutely no devotion. That can be a human life. That's why they say human lives, you have all the different levels. From below animals, like you see, humans are just killing each other and enjoying it or blowing themselves up, to godlike. You have the whole spectre. Without devotion, all you are is a beast of burden. My friends take interest in the subject of devotion. You only reap what you sow. Without devotion, life is wasted, chasing shadows. But it's impossible to see these things before you see. So let's enjoy the safe neighborhood. And it's very good that you come back, Nero, like you know, and that you listen, because at this time, for everybody to stop and slow down a bit, and it is possible now, that's why it's happening. Because the whole life you've been so busy and taking care of everybody, and family and friends and all this. Now you have a good place to rest a bit. Allow it. You wanted to go to Pune, but Osho sent you here. He's gone from there.
Shining in the space,
Your heart.